not give up the fight. We must be like Moses. We've got to keep on trying.
Hello, everyone. I'm Chaplain John McTernan, and this is our My Time Saturday evening show, and it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And what we started, folks, we're about a year into it now, if I remember correctly, is really edifying movies, some documentary, some history, some of videoing events, great revival meetings and things like that. It's been very, very edifying, very, very eye-opening. So we're going to hear, we got something to do with a movie about Oral Roberts tonight. And it was, it touched me. I watched it, and I really touched me about him. And it's a movie. It's a situation. It's not a real ministry. But yeah, I think you'll be blessed by it. And let's see who we have here tonight. We have, Sister Sharon. Now, Sister Sharon, how did last night go?
Last night went excellent. We had quite a few people show up for a talk.
Yeah, lost your voice. We lost you, Sister Sharon. If you can hear me, your sound dropped. Okay, Sister Kathy, Sister Sharon, you might call back. I think your sound dropped.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, there you are. No, I hear you now.
My mom is on, so I'm not going to be able to do that. So,
your what is on?
My mother is listening too, so I'm to let her know. Let's go.
Oh, okay. What's your mom's first name? Yeah, Sister Sharon, your mother's first name? Okay. All right. Sister Kathy, can you fill in here the missing blanks?
I don't know her mother's name.
No. I mean about the event.
Yeah. It was good. It was good. I was off and on to the conference, but I know there were six or eight people, seven or nine. Twizzle had her great grandbaby, and we prayed about the weather and things like that. And Israel, a lot of prayer was going up.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And how are you doing, Sister Kathy?
Doing good. Everybody's bracing for the cold.
Yeah, it'll be in the 20s here. This coming week.
No snow expected.
I think Tuesday we're going to get everything. I don't know.
Wow.
Rain, snow, sleet. So, but it's only going to last for a week as far as I understand. Nicole?
Also, there is a thing going on tomorrow. It's called the Shout That Shatters. And so 12 o'clock Central Time, there will just be a shout as you adjust your time for 12 Central, which it would be 1 o'clock here, to just shout. And there's some prayers to pray and read the 6th chapter of Joshua, things like that. That's just
about surrounding the seven times around the walls.
Right. Mm-hmm. So the Shout That Shatters, it shattered the walls of Jericho, and it will do that. And it is just going to be a very prelude to the inauguration.
Wow. Wow. Now, mm-hmm. Sister Kathy, in a very nice sense, you're an old timer like me, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But I'm an older timer. Now, going back, when did you come to the Lord, Sister Kathy?
Well, actually, when I was 7 years old, but I really committed my life when I was 40.
Oh, okay. But do you...
1993. I better look that up.
All right. Well,
but anyway.
But, all right, so I don't know if you would remember this or not. But I came to the Lord in 74, and Jericho marches were common.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't happen every day, but I mean, the church would say, we're going to have a Jericho march next Saturday, and we're going to march in this area here and claim it for the mm-hmm. Lord. And, you know, this area here has got big problems, and we're going to have a Jericho march into this area. I haven't heard of a Jericho march in I couldn't tell you when.
Yeah, we had one in the church that we were building in a different auditorium, and they call one for that. And they call them prayer walks now. They're not so much Jericho walks, but there are prayer walks, and there are tons and tons of those going on.
So the terminology changed.
Well, you just don't circle it seven times. You know, drive around and pray.
Yeah, well, we didn't, back in the day, we didn't circle seven times. Mm-hmm. It may be just once. You know, you would circle it once, and then you'd stop, and everybody would pray, and you'd pray for what you wanted the Lord to do and victory and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, we went around that auditorium seven times, and one man couldn't walk, and he rode it around in a golf cart. And things like that. But we did take the seven journeys around.
And a mm-hmm. smaller area, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Okay. Well, anyways, we had the Jericho marches years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like I said, it was common. It was common to hear churches, for whatever reason, they were going to exercise a Jericho march. And it was for the victory, for something the Lord to do. Pull down walls of sin and things like that. All right. You know, and it gives me a good feeling, Sister Kathy, the Jericho.
Oh, yeah, it's so exciting.
It's bringing memories mm-hmm. back. You know, it's bringing memories back.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now we have but Sister Sharon's back. Hello, Sharon.
Yes, hi, Chaplain John. Yeah, I am back, and I noticed that a couple nights ago that my mom and sister were both in listening. I did not expect them to be in tonight, or I would have called them and got an idea what was going on. But so right now, this is what I know, is that I think they're here listening.
Okay.
Which is a good thing.
And what's your mom's first name?
My mom's first name is Mary.
Hello, Mary.
And
welcome to the show. And your sister?
Lorraine.
Lorraine. Hello, Lorraine, and welcome to the show. Okay. And thanks for the prayer night last night, Sister Sharon. I ended up having a really wonderful time, at least I thought anyways, with Pastor Ernie. And I was kidding him last night. I was asking him how his cousin Bernie was doing. I was watching him on the hearings.
Oh.
And then I was saying, I said, Pastor Ernie, there's rumors on the internet that your cousin Bernie has almost converted you to be a communist. And then I had to tell everybody I was only kidding. I said, please don't take that serious. I said, years ago, I used to kid Pastor Ernie like that about his cousin Bernie. And so Ernie says, I remember. Oh, but it was very good. He asked me to give a testimony about the Lord healing Nancy, because they prayed I guess it'd be 2 weeks ago for her. And so I shared with the Lord, not yesterday and today. I mean, she's really flying around. It's amazing, up and down the steps. Now slowly, but she's got weight on that hip going up the steps. Going around, her gait is normal. You know, she's not limp or anything like that. So amazing. And we didn't hear from the doctor. He said he wanted to have a RT scan of her hip, and he'd get right back to us. And so that was Thursday, and haven't heard anything since Thursday morning where she had the scan. But she's doing really well, Sister Kathy and Sharon. And thank you, everybody, for all the prayer.
Amen.
She was literally, they were coming in. The doctor was there. The anesthesiologist was there. And there were three, I call them nurses. I guess they were nurses that were going to maybe take her bed and push her in. They were all there. And I told him that she wasn't feeling any pain. Would you please examine her before the operation? And he did. And there was no pain. And he said, I'm not operating on this patient. That's what he said, who is doesn't have pain. I won't do it. That's what he said. He said it a couple times. I can't operate on her if she's not in pain. And he knew her hip was broken because he saw the x-rays.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Amazing. So I said to her when we got home, I said, with you and not getting the operation, I said it was like a prisoner on death row. And 5 minutes before the execution, the governor called and you know, stayed the execution. He goes, yeah, that's how I felt. She says, that's how I felt. Amazing, amazing. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, thank you.
Yeah.
So adding to that, today they asked me, because I spoke today at My Shalom, and they asked me to give testimony. Now, there were a lot of people there that weren't aware of what had happened, and they were amazed. They were so happy. They were so happy with the testimony. And the pastor wanted me to speak. He wanted me to speak about the ministry, Abba Father's International Fellowship, and everything the Lord was doing. So I had about 45 minutes of videos and pictures and testimonies, and they were really amazed at the amount of imams and Hindu priests that have come to the Lord through this ministry. I had a whole bunch of them showing all the imams, the pictures we had. And they were real excited because I was exhorting them, saying, look, if the Lord can do that in Pakistan and in Kenya, why can't he do it here?
I wanted to make sure you knew that the link was there.
Okay, you just said sorry about it.
Okay. So I said, if he could do it in Pakistan and in Kenya and other countries, why can't he do it here? Prayer. I said, prayer is what prayer and believing for the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So it went really, really, really well. And I may show the presentation, because I don't know what you've seen and haven't seen, but I may show the presentation. In fact, add a little more to it. It was perfect. The Lord did it perfect, because I had 45 minutes, because they have what we would call Sunday school. They have it after the church. So I had to stop on time because it would run into their yeshiva, I think they call it. But because of my schedule and stuff, I don't stay. I just come for the service. So anyways, I stopped right on time. They were very happy. And the people at afterwards, we have a break afterwards before the yeshiva there. And they, a lot, when I say, well, let me put it this way, several, including a pastor who was there, came up to me and said that they wanted to contact me about praying with them for healing of a broken heart. They realized, because I did speak about, they have testimony, and I did speak about the Lord healing the broken heart. So there was a lot of fruit from it. There was a lot of fruit from this meeting. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. Just say hello to everybody, and then we'll get on with...
And before you start with prayer, add Twizzle's great-grandson. He has a jaundice issue, and he just weighed 6 pounds, so he needs to... get his bilirubin number up, and so he can get out.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you. Well, let's do that now. What's the baby's name? Did you pick it up, Sister Kathy, the baby's name?
Whatever. I'm thinking of Cameron. That's Sheila in Pennsylvania's nephew, Cameron. So lift one up for him, too. Not Maurice, but let me see.
That's all right.
Marcello, M-A-R-C-E-L-L-O, Marcello, and that's her great-great-grandson, and Sheila in Pennsylvania's nephew is named Cameron, and he's in ICU at 6 months old.
Okay, Lord, we have two children in the hospital now, Marcello and Cameron, and that is the same with Cameron, with his liver?
His is RSV. And a flu, and probably had a seizure. He's on a ventilator, a six-month-old on a ventilator.
Lord, we bring these children before you now, and we're asking for Marcello, Lord, for all his, I guess, all his systems would be functioning. Lord, he'd be the right color, Lord. That bilirubin there shows a funny color. And that he could go home real quickly. This is common, Lord, but we're bringing it before you anyways, that child and his protection and help. And then Cameron, Lord, there's some really serious stuff here. And we're asking for your healing power upon that child and that he would come out of this, Lord. There'd be no long-term effects, Lord. That's what we're asking for. No long-term effects on him. The seizure would, whatever was causing it, would cease in Jesus' name. And he would be healthy, breathing, and everything else. And come home soon. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. My middle boy, Jesse, he was 3 months old. And I got up one night to go to the bathroom. When we put him to bed, he was fine. So coming from the bathroom, I just happened to touch his head, and he was red hot with fever. Turned out to be 106. So we had to rush him to the hospital, and he had meningitis.
Wow.
Yeah, he was in the hospital 3 months.
Ooh.
So he was in the hospital for 3 months, and Nancy had to stay with him. He was only 3 months old. You know, so she stayed with him day and night there for months on end. And then the two other kids, Rachel and John, my mother and grandmother took to watch them because, you know, I had to work. But it was amazing. Where the hospital was kind of out of the way. And on my job there, I traveled quite a bit. And when I traveled, the traveling took me to that area. So I would frequently, like during the day, just drop in to say hello and check the baby out and Nancy out and all. But they put a bed in the room with her there with Jesse. And later on, just a little testimony I feel like sharing. Jesse was a very, very fearful kid, very fearful. And we had talked to the doctors about all he was going through. And they said, oh, they're resilient and he won't remember anything. And but he did, even though he was only 3 months old, because he was subject to those little baby, the intravenous. And he's just a little baby and they had the intravenous in his head and they had his hands tied down so he couldn't pull it out. I mean, it was awful, but he was very, very fearful and he did not like to be left alone at night. I take a flashlight with me and we go through every room and he would to verify there was nothing, no monster hiding in the room under the bed. We'd go through the house there, show him. I said, now, son, are you sure? Are you assured that there's nothing in the house? He said, yes. I said, okay. Well, if you have any problem, you yell. I'll hear you. He was downstairs in the bedroom, and I could hear him upstairs. So I had to do that for years, every night, go through the house. So he was older now. He was in college, and I ended up praying over him for fear, and he had a spirit of fear in him, and the Lord set him free from it. But that fear, I know it was put in him at 3 months old when he had to go through
it. Yes, absolutely. You know?
Yeah, he's got a spirit there at that age. They can perceive things.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but he had 106 fever a couple times.
Man.
And then they checked, and my son John was the carrier. They checked our sinuses, all of us, and John had the bacteria in it that was causing the meningitis. So they treated John. That was, meningitis is really, really, really serious, needless to say. All right. So I want to say hello to Sister Rita. Hello, Rita.
Hello, Chaplain John. I love it when you reminisce. Hello to everyone out there.
Well, I don't know if everybody likes it, but if you do like it, let me know, because I don't know if I should reminisce or not, you know, it's hard for me to tell if it's coming across good or not. So I like it when you tell me that.
Oh, thank yes. You. It's, and you do it so well.
Well, I'm going to add a little bit to that, a little bit to it. I was speeding, taking Jesse to the hospital that we used was not close. It was part of my health plan. So the doctor said, you know, wrap him up, take him to the hospital. I'm going to call ahead. And this was at night. This was at like 1 a.m. or so. And we had a health plan and you could 24 hours, you could call in. So we'll call ahead. They'll all be ready for you. So I'm chugging along at high speed on what's called the Long Island Expressway. And I got stopped by the police. So the police officer comes to the car and I explain what's happening. And we started talking and lo and behold, he goes to a church very close to where I lived. And I knew the pastor of the church well. So I started talking about, yeah, you go to this. Somehow it came up. I don't know how it came up. And we're on the side of the road at like 2 a.m. on the interstate. He says, okay, I'm going to get ahead of you and I'm going to run the lights all the way. You follow me. How was that? I got escorted by the Nassau County police. They stopped me for speeding. The officer knew the Lord. And then he followed me into the hospital and prayed over Jesse. How was that? That's all coming back. I forgot all of that.
Wow.
Till now. But we got
that was great.
A lights on emergency. The Nassau County police, that officer, led me there right into the hospital. And he parked the car and he got out and he followed me in and prayed over Jesse. I remember it vividly now. I haven't thought of that in years. I mean, Jesse was, I haven't thought of that in years. years. So what's the time? What's the chances of that happening? You know, this right police officer at the right time and all. And we got a lights. He had the lights going and let took me right to the hospital. Okay.
Yeah.
Gigi. Hello, Gigi.
Yes. Well, that was interesting.
Yeah.
But may I ask a question?
And Nancy didn't know what was going on. Because she was sitting in the passenger seat with Jesse in her lap. So I got in the car, and next thing you know, the cop's got the light on, and he's in front of me. And she goes, what's going on? So I said, he's a police officer. He believes in the Lord, and he goes to so-and-so's church. Wow. And I said, he's giving us an escort all the way to the hospital. Oh, that's bringing joy to me because I had completely, totally forgot about that.
That's amazing.
All right. And we'll get back after the show together. And here is Paula Jean. Hello, Paula Jean.
Good evening. I've enjoyed listening to the information, too, about those special experiences. And they are special.
Oh,
those are, you know, that is God's hand on that child and on your family. And I pray that your son will come to remember that experience instead of as scary as a blessing for him.
Yeah, that doesn't bother him at all.
Good.
Yeah, Jesse's all free. Then. When I tell you I confront doctors and all, I do it diplomatically. I don't want you to think I'm a fist fighter with doctors. I mean, so we have him in the hospital, and 3 months he was in the hospital. And almost every day the neurologist was coming and telling us, well, we think he might be deaf because, you know, he had meningitis and he had 106 fever. We think he might be mentally, every day they were coming up with something. So finally, I said to her, she was starting to tell me this stuff. I said, doctor, please don't talk to me anymore. I don't want to hear every day he's going to have this, whatever it is, we're going to take him home anyway. So, but unless you have something concrete, I do not want you to talk to me anymore.
Yeah. No more negative talk.
No more. No more negative stuff. No more. So, but that's my, I had a little confrontation with the doctor. All right. So God bless everybody. And we will start. And it's a movie. It's about an hour long with Oral Roberts. I just enjoyed it. You know, I'm not going to, there's no acting awards in this and all, but I really enjoyed the plot and how Oral Roberts gets involved in all of it. So let me get it. Here we go. Venture into faith.
This was the land of miracles more than 1900 years ago. These were the roads and pathways they trod. These were the scenes of the miracles of healing they wrought. Healing of minds and souls and bodies. This was the land where John made the lame to walk, and where Peter's shadow caused the sick in the streets to be healed, where Philip cleansed the people of unclean spirits and the palsied and the lame were healed. Yes, this was the land of miracles, for it was the land of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whose last words to his apostles were, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." This, too, is a land of miracles, this America of ours, 2,000 years later. For the days of miracles are not past. Everywhere throughout this land, in the granite towers of great cities, in the quiet chapels of small towns, wherever there is faith, miracles are wrought daily. This is the story of just such a modern miracle, one that took place in a suburb of one of our largest cities not so long ago. It's the story of Jim and Ruth Collins and their son David, ordinary people with the same joys and problems most of us have. Ordinary, yes, but with this difference. Dave is stricken with tuberculosis. For over 2 years now, he has lived in a bed, in a world built around his books, his radio, his garden, and the hope that someday he may be well again.
What time is it, Davey? Darling, I said, what time is it? Once you get your nose in one of those old books.
Gee, Mom, he must have been a pretty terrific guy.
Who?
Davy Crockett. Sit down, Mom, and let me tell you all about him and how he fought the captain of Lafitte's pirates and...
Now, I can hear you just as well from the clothesline. Besides, I want to be finished when Ann gets here.
Is Mrs. Stewart coming over this afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
She sure is nice to me, Mom.
She's nice to all of us. She's been wonderful ever since we moved out here.
I guess she means a lot to you. It's me all. Gee, Mom, am I ever gonna get well?
Of course you are, David. It just takes time, darling.
I know, Mom, and rest and sunshine. That's what the doctor says. But I get so tired of this old bed.
Hey, anybody home? Hi, Ann.
Hi, Mrs. Stewart.
Hello, Ruth. Hi, Davy. Well, this is a fine how-do-you-do. Here you two are, practically dinner time, just sitting around talking. Clothes not hung up. Where's Jim? Isn't he home from work yet?
He had to stop by the doctor's on his way home to see David's new x-rays. I'm going to wait dinner for him. Do you mind if I finish while we talk?
Go right ahead. I can only stay a few minutes anyway. Well, Davy, what have you been up to today?
I've been reading all about the Battle of the Alamo, and it's real good. Lots of fighting and shooting.
Sounds like Butch Wilson's been here again.
Yes, he's been so nice to Dave, always bringing him books and things.
And he's coming over tomorrow afternoon to tell me about the hike.
What hike?
Well, the cut then at school, the one I can belong to if I ever get well. They went on a hike last weekend and stayed out all night.
All night? Well.
Gee, I bet they had a good time. Anyway, Butch said over the phone that they took some pictures, and he's going to bring them over for me to see.
Now, isn't that nice of Butch?
Gee, I wish I could go on hikes with him. I used to, you know, before I got sick. Well, back home, I used to do about everything anybody else did.
I know, hon. And you'll do it again. But what about the hike?
Well, Butch is going to bring a lizard he caught, a real live lizard, and he said I could keep it. Gee, can you imagine?
Anne, help me get him into the house.
You're all right, Davy. Mother's all right with you, darling. You'll be all right.
It's all right, Ruth. He's resting quietly now. Oh, Anne, I don't know if I can stand it much longer. It's almost killing me. Just to see him lying in there, day in and day out, wheezing and coughing his life away. Oh, Anne.
Don't, Ruth. You wouldn't want Davy to hear you crying, would you? There, that's better. Now look, why not go in and lie down, and I'll finish dinner for you.
No, no, I'm all right now. Really, I am. I'll feel better if I keep busy. It's just that, well, every once in a while it gets me.
I know.
With Davy being sick like this all the time, and Jim so
what, honey?
Well, he's pretty unhappy with his job, you know. Not that I blame him, of course. He had to give up a much better position when he got himself transferred out here, but with Davy needing this climate, there wasn't much else he could do. It's just that, well, he gets pretty discouraged at times, like I do, I guess. He just...
Hey, now wait a minute. Listen to me. You're just feeling low right now. But you can't let it get you, Ruth. You can't give up hope.
Hello, honey. Oh, hi, Ann.
Hello, Jim.
Hi.
Why, honey, what's wrong? Is he worse?
No. No, he's all right now. He had a little attack, but not like last night. What did the doctor say?
Same old thing. No better, no worse. That's what I don't understand. Why can't they do something for him? Sorry, Ann, but I guess you're used to this by now. Well, I think I'll look in on him for a while before dinner. I bought that baseball glove for him.
Well, I've got to get home. It's getting late.
I guess it is, Ann.
Keep your chin up, Ruth. And keep your faith up, too.
Thanks, Ann. You've been such a help. See you tomorrow.
You bet.
Hey, Mom, Dad brought it. Come see my new baseball mitt.
All right, darling. I'll be right there. It was one of the worst attacks he's had yet. All night long, you could hear him tossing and moaning. He finally went to sleep about 4 o'clock this morning. Oh, Ann, I'm about at the end of my rope. I don't know which way to turn.
I know how you feel, Ruth. Who on earth could that be?
Probably Butch Wilson. He's about due from school.
Hi, Mrs. Collins.
Hi, Butch.
Hello, Mrs. Stewart.
Hello, Butch.
How's old Dave?
Well, he's sleeping right now, dear. He had another of his attacks last night.
Aw, gee, that's tough, because I wanted to see him. I got lots of things to tell him, and I got someone to give him. See?
What is it?
A lizard.
A lizard?
Yep, a real live, honest-to-goodness lizard. Look, I'll show you.
Never mind. Believe you.
It's only a lizard.
Well, now, Butch, I think it was very thoughtful of you, and I know David will be crazy about it, but, well, I don't think we better give it to him right now. It'll only excite him, and he might start coughing again. I tell you what, you give it to me, I'll put him in the kitchen, and when David gets better, I'll give it to him then. All right?
Sure. Oh, and Mrs. Collins, don't forget to feed him every day.
What in the world do you feed lizards?
Flies.
Oh, why don't you stay for a while, Butch, if you can? David ought to be waking up pretty soon, and he'd be so disappointed if he didn't get to see you. Wait, I think he's awake now. Dave? David, are you awake?
Is that Butch?
Yes, dear. We're coming right in. Come on, Butch.
right, Butch. Did you bring the lizard?
Yeah, I got him out in my kitchen.
But first, let me tell you about what I saw coming home from school today. I watched him putting up a great big tent at the fairgrounds.
A circus tent?
No, I thought it was a circus, too, at first, because there were big trucks and things. And gee, Dave, I wish you could have seen that tent go up. First, those old trailer trucks pulled onto the lot. Big. Say, I'll bet each one was bigger than a house. Then about 100 guys unloaded the trucks and rolled out the canvas. Acres and acres of it. And the ropes. A man said it took 37 miles of rope to pitch that tent. 37 miles. Can you imagine? They had a regular machine upon the tent station of the ground, too. Sort of pile driver, I guess. There were four main tent poles. I bet each one of them was higher than the mast of the biggest sailing ship. And when they started hoisting that canvas, it went up like a great big umbrella. And when they got it all up, you should have seen the tent. It's just about the biggest tent in the world, I guess. Why, I bet it covers a whole block. Gee, Dave, I wish you could have seen it.
Well, if it isn't a circus, what is it?
It's a preacher.
A preacher?
Yeah, his name is Roberts or something like that. And he heals people. Boy, there was something watching that tent go up.
I'll bet it was. Say, did you bring the pictures of the hike?
Oh, sure. I got them in this envelope. It came out swell. See?
How long did it take to get to Rimrock?
About a half hour.
You boys don't mind if we fix you some lemonade, do you?
Gee, that'd be swell. Oh, there's one where I went canoeing.
Anne, have you ever heard of this man Roberts before?
Oral Roberts?
Mm-hmm.
I should say I have, and I think he's wonderful. I wouldn't miss his radio program for anything.
Oh, he's on the radio, too?
Yes, every Sunday. He preaches the most wonderful sermons about faith. And they read letters from people who've been healed of different sicknesses.
You mean people are actually healed of something serious?
According to some of the letters. I remember one about a woman who attended a meeting of his in North Carolina, who was healed of paralysis after being bedfast for years.
Well, is he one of those faith healers? You know, the kind that doesn't believe in doctors.
Oh, no, he believes in doctors just like the rest of us. He doesn't claim any healing powers for himself. He's just a... Well, he's just a man who has a tremendous faith in God. And who's able to help other people have that much faith, too. He's one of the most dynamic preachers I've ever heard. Ever since I heard he was coming here, I've planned to go every night. The revival starts tonight. I wish you and Jim would come with me.
Jim, go to a revival? Not much. I can't even get him to go to church on Sunday anymore. He just won't.
Well, I'll help you with the lemonade. And then I've got to run. I've got a lot of shopping to do.
Anne, do you think people can be healed by faith? Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, there's something I want to talk to you about.
Yes?
But first, you must promise not to interrupt until I've finished.
Okay, honey. What is it?
Well, do you remember what Anne called about this morning?
Yeah, something about a church revival, wasn't it?
Well, it's more than a church revival. It's a healing campaign. Jim, have you ever heard of healing by faith?
Healing by... You mean those so-called healers that go around touching people and saying they're cured of practically anything? Yes, I've heard of them. Why? What's that got to do with... Hey, now, wait a minute.
Please, Jim, you promised to let me finish.
All right.
Well, Anne went to the Oral Roberts meeting last night, and Jim, She actually saw a little girl healed of asthma. And that's not all. She saw a man throw away his crutches and run after having had arthritis for years.
Now, Ruth...
I know. You don't believe in such things. But, Jim, please let me finish. Brother Roberts isn't what you call a healer, because he doesn't claim any supernatural power for himself. He just inspires people to have enough faith in God so that God can heal them. You know, Jim, healing by faith isn't new. Jesus did it when he was on earth, and his disciples and apostles healed people after he was gone.
You seem to know an awful lot about this business just to have heard about it this morning.
Well, I didn't just hear about it this morning, Jim. I went out there to see for myself.
You went to this Roberts outfit?
Yes, I did. And I'll never stop being thankful that I did go. I don't know if I can tell you exactly how I felt. When I drove up to the fairgrounds and saw that huge tent, I said to myself, it looks exactly like a circus. But then as I drew nearer, I heard music. Organ music. And I followed it. The music was coming from inside the tent. And what I saw took my breath away. I saw row upon row of seats. Thousands of them. But there was something else. Something I couldn't see. Something I could only feel. As the music flowed round me, I knew that this wasn't just a tent. This was a cathedral. A place of holiness. And a great sense of peace came over me.
Good morning. May I help you? I'm Brother DeWeese, Brother Roberts' campaign manager.
How do you do? I'm Mrs. James Collins. I wonder if I might speak with you for a moment about Brother Roberts' work.
Why, certainly, Mrs. Collins. What was it you wished to know?
Well, it's rather difficult. We have a very sick child. He's almost 10 years old, and he's been practically bedfast for almost 2 years with tuberculosis. The doctors have done everything they can, but... it looks as if David, that's our boy, will end up in a sanitarium unless something happens. We have a very dear friend who was here at your meeting last night, and she saw... well, I'm not just sure I understand all there is to know about what faith in God can do, but I want to understand if it will help our boy.
Mrs. Collins, don't be the least bit embarrassed that you don't understand faith. At least you have the desire to understand. Everybody has faith. And God has raised up Oral Roberts to help people turn their faith loose.
Mr. DeWeese, I wonder if you'll tell me something about Oral Roberts himself. Where does he come from, and how does he come to have this ministry of faith?
Well, Oral Roberts was born with many handicaps, including a stuttering, stammering tongue. When he was 16 years old... he was afflicted with tuberculosis in both lungs and given up to die.
With tuberculosis?
Yes, just as your boy is afflicted. When he was 17, he was taken to a big tent, just like this one. And a minister of the gospel prayed for God to heal him. Oral Roberts had faith. He believed. And God raised him up and called him to bring Bible deliverance to his generation. Now he has a strong body, a free tongue, and he's preaching to millions of people every year.
He must have great power over people.
Yes, Oral Roberts does have great power, but it's God's power. And he's using this power to help people restore their faith in God. He's doing this night after night in these great campaigns.
If God healed Oral Roberts, he can heal David. And if he can do that, he is truly wonderful.
Ms. Collins, you're going to hear Brother Roberts say again and again in these meetings that God is a good God. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he has done for people in times past, he will do for us today. And if you believe that strong enough, you will find God's help for your boy.
Thank you, Mr. DeWeese. And I do appreciate the time you've given me. I'm coming here tonight, and I'm going to bring my husband with me. Oh, yes, my friend mentioned something about a prayer card. What is that?
Well, you see, God has given Oral Roberts such great success in praying for people that thousands of people are seeking his prayers. He tries to pray for each person individually. For that reason, he can only pray for a certain number each night. In order for him to do this, we give to each person a prayer card so that they may know about what time they will be called into the prayer line.
Oh, I see.
Now, tonight, I will be explaining exactly how you may go about to receive a prayer card.
And he told me exactly how to go about it. When I left there, I felt as if part of our troubles were already over. Jim, I felt...
You felt hypnotized. That's how you felt? I've never believed in such poppycock, and I don't believe in it now. And if you think we're going to take Dave down there, you've got another thought coming. We've got a good doctor for Dave.
Oh, but Jim, I asked Brother DeWeese what Brother Roberts thought about doctors, and he said we should take advantage of everything medicine has to offer, but that God can do what no man can do.
I still don't like the sound of it.
Oh, but Jim, only last night you'd given up hope of the doctors ever being able to do anything more for Davey, and now that we have a ray of hope... Oh, please, Jim, for my sake, go with me to the Roberts tent tonight and listen to him yourself. Then we'll talk about it. Please.
I don't have to listen to this Roberts or anyone else to know what I think. I know all I need to know right now.
Well, all right, Jim, if that's the way you feel about it.
All right. We'll go for a little while.
Jim.
But now listen. I'm not going to stay through the whole thing. An hour in church is my limit. And these things last for 3 or 4 hours sometimes. We'll sit way in the back so we can get out when we want to.
Just as you say, darling. And thanks.
So far back here, we'll never be able to see your preacher.
Well, Jim, it was your idea we sit here.
Oh, it's all right. We'll be getting out of here pretty soon.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's my happy privilege and pleasure to present the man that God has raised up with a message for your deliverance. God's man for this hour, the Reverend Oral Roberts.
I greet you in the name of the Lord tonight, and I'm glad you're here. You've come here for God to help you, and he's going to do something for you. Tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of Matthew, to the 8th chapter, which I consider the greatest healing chapter in the entire Bible. I want to read now from Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, these wonderful words. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion. A centurion is a Roman army captain, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man also under authority, having soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Let every head reverently be bowed, please. Heavenly Father, I come to thee tonight in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Honor now the ministry and the prayer of thy humble servant, and grant the miracle of the outstretched hand of God upon this mighty and great audience tonight. O Lord, rebuke and bind the devil's power upon lost and suffering humanity. And now, thou wicked, hateful devil, I come against you, not in my name or strength, but in the name of my master, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I charge you, devil, take your hands off God's property and loose every man, every woman, every child in this great audience tonight. Loose them and let them go. And now, Father, bind the devil's power. Cast out every demon spirit. Fill this great tent cathedral with the presence and power of God that sets men free in soul, mind, and body. And now, Father, I thank you because you hear me pray. I know now that you'll do more than I ask and more than I think. For I come in the name that's above every name, the mighty, incomparable name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Amen. Tonight, I speak to you on this subject. There is no power like the power of faith. Jesus Christ said to a Roman army captain, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. Here is a magic formula. Here is a master key in the hands of a human being that unlocks the doors to miracles, to the healing power of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. These words were said to a Roman, to the captain of the Roman garrison.
Why, the guy looks more like a fullback than a preacher.
The second home of Jesus,
younger than I thought, too.
Quarters of his ministry.
All right, what's he got to say?
Some of his greatest and mightiest miracles. The Roman army captain had seen some of these miracles and had been tremendously impressed with the power of the Son of God and of the power of the faith that the people had in him. For he saw the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and the dumb to speak. And so when his own servant fell ill, deathly ill with shaking palsy, and the emperor's physician said that nothing can be done, he's beyond the pale of human cure, he came to Jesus. The army captain walked up, and the very first word he said was, Lord. He had never called a man on this earth Lord before except Caesar. But now he calls Jesus of Nazareth Lord. What a spectacle this is. This is force bowing to meekness, armed might before the unarmed, a proud, rude, haughty Roman at the feet of the gentle and lowly Nazarene. He said, Lord, he transferred his allegiance from a man to the Son of God. Jesus had said nothing up to this time, and seeing his face and knowing the need of his servant and feeling the power of the Roman army captain's faith, he said unto him, I will come and heal him. Oh, my friend, this is the Bible portrait of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I will come and heal him. But the Roman army captain didn't ask Jesus to come to his house. He said, Lord, I'm not worthy of that high honor. Besides all that, it isn't necessary. Lord, you don't have to come to my house. Just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed. Jesus turned and said, I have not found so great faith. No, not in Israel. Great faith is that faith that recognizes that the authority and the power over disease and sickness are in Jesus Christ of Nazareth and not in man. I believe in medical science. I believe that we should do for ourselves everything that we know to do. But people, the authority over disease is not in mortal man, but in Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. And when we come to the end of our rope, neighbor, tie a knot and hang on. Don't give up. Turn back to God, and God can do for you what no man can do. If you believe that tonight, say amen. Amen. I have not found so great faith. Great faith recognizes the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. And so he declared the Romans' faith was great. Great faith. And then he turned and said, Roman, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. The man saluted and went home. Go with me tonight to his house and see his servant lying there with shaking palsy, tormented from head to toe. And when we arrive, the power of the Roman's faith has struck the palsy a death blow. His hands are steady. There's a warm glow in his face and a bright light in his eye. He leaps out of bed. He's healed by God's power. For the master had said, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. The strongest thing in the world is faith. There is no power like the power of faith. Many of you have come here to receive the help of God. And I'm so glad you're here, because God is in the business of setting humanity free in this our day. But some of you have come with your prejudices, with your preconceived ideas, your traditions. Some of you are not in the right attitude and frame of mind to receive healing. Some of you brought your little boy, your little girl. Some have brought other loved ones. Some of you have come for yourselves. There are four things I want to say to you tonight, neighbor, to show you the tremendous power there is in your own faith. First of all, third, faith is not something you get. Faith is something you have. Fourth, turn your faith loose by using a point of contact. Number one, Jesus Christ is the...
Well, he isn't an old fire and brimstone shouter at all like I thought he'd be. He's direct, right to the point, and sound. All the way along, this guy makes sense.
He's the same man that laid his hand upon blind eyes and deaf ears and crippled bodies and made them whole from head to toe. He lives and reigns today in our hearts. He is the same now as he was then. I am a living testimony. Proof that there is faith in God and that there's power in that faith and that Christ is real in our time. I was born with a stuttering, stammering tongue. I never knew what it was to talk without stuttering. I was born with a pair of weak lungs. When I was 16, I was struck down with tuberculosis in both lungs and was bedfast for more than 5 months. When I was carried to a healing campaign and a servant of God, a minister of the gospel, laid his hands upon me and prayed a prayer of faith, and the Lord healed my lungs, healed my stuttering tongue, set it free, and called me to bring deliverance to my generation. I am well and strong tonight, made whole by his power, and what Christ has done for me, he can do for you. Again, God is a good God. Some of you have the idea that God has afflicted you. I think the greatest verse in the Bible is John 10:10, where Christ said these words, "The thief," which means the devil, "the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." Neighbor, God is totally good, and the devil is totally bad. There is no goodness in Satan and no badness in God. God is good, and the devil is bad. God is a good God, and the devil is a bad devil. In God, there is goodness, there is love, there is deliverance for this lost and suffering race. Believe that, neighbor, and you will be set free. And again, faith is not something you get. Faith is something you have. The Bible said that God gives to every man a measure of faith. A lot of people are seeking faith. They're trying to get it. And all the time you have it in your heart. If you didn't have faith, you couldn't even be saved. Why, sinners have faith. If they didn't, they couldn't become Christians. For we're saved through faith by the grace of God. Amen. Neighbor, you have faith and I have faith. Amen. What is faith? It's the power to believe right. Everybody has that power. You have in your power tonight the privilege and the prerogative to believe your God, to believe that God is, that He's a good God, and that He can do for you what no man can do. Right believing is faith in God, and faith is
yes.
Right believing.
You're not. Yes, I see that.
Take it, neighbor, and
I've never looked at it in quite that way before.
How do you turn your
That's the way I've always felt about it, though.
Point of contact. Friends, you've come here tonight to believe God. Get a point of contact. When you come in this healing line, and I lay my right hand upon you, remember that I feel God's presence in my life through my right hand. I have no personal power to heal, for no man can heal. Only God can do that. But I'm an instrument in the hands of God, and this is my point of contact. He said I would feel His presence in my right hand. I would detect the presence of demons. I would know their number and name, would have His power to cast them out. He said, from this hour you'll heal the sick and cast out devils by my power. A neighbor, He's called me to bring deliverance. And I ask you tonight to believe God. Anybody can doubt, but it takes a real man, a real woman, to have faith in Jesus Christ. You can do it. You can do it, neighbor. Jesus said these matchless, incomparable words, "As thou hast believed, so shall it be done." There's a complete mastery in faith. The tremendous power of the faith in your heart may not have been discovered by you, neighbor, but tonight, when you turn it loose, it's going to set you free from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. And now, I want every head bowed. Every head reverently bowed, please. Heavenly Father, I come to Thee tonight in the name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Honor now the prayer of Thy humble servant, and grant me this miracle tonight according to Thy will in heaven. Please, dear God, don't let a mother's boy who heard me preach tonight go to hell. Don't let a mother's girl who heard me preach tonight go to hell. Don't let a daddy, don't let a mother who heard me preach tonight go to hell. But please, dear God, give them Thy forgiveness for their many sins, the peace of Christ for their lonely souls, and save them this night. I pray in the name of Jesus. Let every head remain bowed, please. And now, neighbor, while every head's bowed, listen carefully to me tonight and do just exactly like I tell you. If you will do just exactly like I tell you tonight, you will be set free. God will save your soul. But if you do not, there's nothing I can do to help you. Now, while every head is bowed, take the first step, please. I want every man and every woman, every boy and every girl who believes in my prayers tonight and you want my prayers, that you may receive the forgiveness of God for your many sins, the peace of Christ for your lonely soul, that you might be born again by His Spirit. Take the first step, please, in Jesus' name right now, and raise up your right hand. That's wonderful. Hundreds of hands are raised tonight. Others, please, raise your right hand. Oh, that's wonderful. Take them down. Now, take the next step. If you do like I tell you, God will set you free tonight. Now I want every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl who raised your right hand for my prayer, that you may receive the forgiveness of God for your sins and be saved this night. Take the second step, please, in his name right now, and stand on your feet. Remain standing for my prayer. Oh, that's wonderful. They're really getting up. Keep getting up, please. All over the tent, keep getting up. Others, please. Get up, man. Get up, woman. Stand before the Lord. I can help you tonight. I can help you back to your God. That's wonderful. Keep getting up, please. And you look on me, please, right now. I'm so glad you're standing tonight, neighbor. And I'll tell you why. This is God's night to set your soul free. We have a place in front of me here where you may come and stand, and I'm going to pray with you and help you back to God. Do not sit back down, but walk down the aisles right now, please, and stand before me for the prayer of forgiveness. Come on. Come on. Oh, they're coming. They're coming. Praise God, they're coming down every aisle. Keep coming, please. Keep coming. Oh, that's wonderful. All the way in, please. Come on over. Closer in, please. Each one of you in front of me tonight who has come here to give your heart to God, to be saved from your sins, raise your right hand to God. Repeat this prayer after me, the prayer of a sinner. Do not be ashamed to pray this prayer. Open your heart and repeat these words. Dear God,
have mercy on my lost soul. Please, dear Lord, take away this heavy burden of my many sins and give me thy peace, thy forgiveness, thy salvation. For I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I receive him as my Lord and Savior to live for God the rest of my life. This will I do in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you meant that tonight, say amen. Say praise the Lord.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, I want you to make this promise to God and to me, his servant, that at your first opportunity, you will join the church of your own choice, and you'll serve the Lord the rest of your life. If you'll join the church of your own choice, raise your right hand quickly, please, and say amen.
Amen.
There's one more step. Do not return to your chair now. I want you to go out in the prayer tent, which is just behind this tent cathedral, and get down on your knees for a personal word of prayer, and stay there until you know that Jesus has saved your soul tonight. Then you may return for the healing service. I will offer prayer for the healing of the sick when you come back. Always put first things first. The saving of your soul is the greatest miracle in the world. Go now, please.
Brother Roberts is praying for the invalids. We shall call the healing line. We are asking for all those who hold healing card letter M to take your place in
the
healing
line. Did he say N?
No, M.
Oh, dear.
I guess we'll just have to come back tomorrow again. Our boy, you know.
Oh, your boy?
Yes, Tommy over here. He's suffering from asthma. He's had it all his life, and it's getting worse. We drove over 100 miles to bring him here.
Do you mean to say that you can't get in the prayer line after traveling all that distance with a sick child?
Oh, we'll get in all right. It just takes time. There's so many others like him who got here before we did, but we don't mind. Because when we do get up there, God will heal him.
Well, that does it. Have to wait another whole day of all the... Come on, Ruth, we're getting out of here.
But, Jim, it's just beginning,
come on,
and I...
Let's go.
Thank you for staying with David.
Oh, forget it, Ruth.
I was glad to do it.
Good night, Jim.
Good night, Ann. And thanks again.
I'll call you tomorrow.
Good night.
Wait a minute, Ruth.
Yes, Jim?
Sit down, dear. I want to talk to you. I know you're angry at me for leaving a meeting like that. But when I heard that poor guy say that he had driven 100 miles with his son and then couldn't get in the prayer line, I couldn't take it.
He didn't seem to be upset.
was quite cheerful about it, I thought. He was sincere in his faith that their turn would come too and that they would receive help.
Well, of course. He was just as hypnotized as everybody else in there. Of all the... Look, Ruth, I'll admit that your brother Roberts is a powerful dynamic speaker. Why, even had me believing in him for a while. But couldn't you see the buildup? He was just getting people all worked up so they would believe they were healed whether they actually were or not. Why, it was so obvious to...
Wait. Was that David?
Here, son.
Oh, you poor darling. It's so hard to breathe.
I know.
Is that better, darling?
Yes, Mom. I was dreaming about us, Dad.
You were?
Uh-huh. It was a nice dream, too. I was dreaming about how we used to play ball when you'd come home from work. Remember?
I remember.
We sure used to have fun. And I could really pitch him too, couldn't I, Dad? Remember how we used to go fishing up in Minnesota at our secret place? You know, Dad, near the waterfall where all those trout were biting. And remember that big whopper I caught? Gee, he almost got away, too, didn't he? Remember you showed me how to cook him over the campfire? That old fish sure tasted good. Best fish I ever ate in my whole life. Gee, we sure used to have fun, didn't we, Dad?
Yeah, we sure did.
Dad, do you think we'll ever, ever...
Of course we will, Davy. You and I have got lots more fishing to do yet.
But when...
Soon, very soon. If you do just as the doctor says, get plenty of rest and sunshine.
But I do that, Dad, and it don't do no good.
Oh, but it will. I'm sure it will. You've just got to keep trying. You've got to be a good soldier. Remember when you were a little fella and Dad was a soldier and had to go away. You promised you'd be brave and wouldn't cry or anything. Well, it's the same now. Just the same. You've got to be a good soldier.
I'll try, Dad.
That's my boy. You just keep believing you'll get well. And you will.
Okay.
Now, don't you think it's time you try to get some sleep?
Yes, Dad. Good night.
Good night, son.
Dad?
Yes?
You won't forget the fishing, will you?
No, son. I won't forget. Why?
Why should this happen to us? What have we done to deserve it? What has he done to deserve it?
Leave, Jim. Don't.
I keep telling the poor little guy he's going to get well. Soon, I tell him. Soon. But all the time, I know he's getting worse. What do we do, Ruth? Do we just sit around and watch him die? There must be something we can do.
Darling, you've got to have faith.
Good Lord, Ruth, faith in what?
In God, Jim. We've tried everything else. We've had the best doctors we could get for him. There's only one thing left. We've got to give it a chance.
You mean Roberts, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Do you really think that Roberts can help him?
God can help him, darling. And Brother Roberts can help us believe that God will heal him.
All right. I give up. We'll try it. I'll try anything. Is he still asleep?
Mm-hmm. He's all right.
Don't you think we better wake him up?
Oh, we have a couple of hours yet before the meeting. Let's let him sleep as long as possible. What's that you're reading?
Why, it's a Healing Waters magazine. The one Brother Roberts publishes. I got a copy last night at the meeting.
Well, that's fine, Jim. What does it say?
Well, it has testimonials in it from people who have been healed while at the Roberts meetings or while listening to him on the radio.
Well, I wonder who that can be. It must be Reverend Spencer from our church. His car's parked out in front. I guess he's making calls.
Let him in.
Good evening, Reverend Spencer. I'm so glad to see you.
And I'm glad to see you.
Won't you come in?
Hello, Jim.
Good evening, Reverend Spencer. Can I take your hat?
Thank you.
Won't you sit down?
Thank you.
It's wonderful of you to stop by.
Well, it's quite a time since I've seen you good people.
Well, yes, I'm afraid that's mostly my fault, Reverend Spencer. You see, I've been so busy lately, and the boy's been so sick.
I understand, Jim. How is Dave? Any better?
He's about the same, I'm afraid. He has these good days and bad ones. He's taking a nap right now because we're taking him out to the Roberts meeting tonight.
Oral Roberts? You mean the healing evangelist?
Yes. Jim and I went to the meeting last night and it was wonderful.
I'm glad you came by this evening, Reverend Spencer. I have something I want to ask you.
All right, Jim, go right ahead.
Well, just what do you think of this Oral Roberts and his healing campaign?
Well, now, I don't know Mr. Roberts myself, Jim, and I've never heard the man preach.
I'll grant that he's a dynamic speaker, but this healing business, are there such things as miracles for our day?
Well, Jim, none of us denies the existence of miracles as they're portrayed in the Bible, and certainly I wouldn't deny the power of God to work miracles today. Indeed, he does work them all the time. Why, Jim, miracles are happening every day, before our very eyes. Oh, they may not seem spectacular, but they are miracles nevertheless.
Yes, I know, but what I mean is...
What Jim means is, Reverend Spencer, do you believe people can be healed today of sickness just as they were during the time of Jesus and his disciples?
Oh, they can, Ruth. I'm sure they can. Faith can move mountains, you know. However, there are many miracles in the Bible that are considered more as, well, as symbols of great truths than as literal fact. But I'm sure that...
Mother, can I come in there?
Yes, darling. Daddy'll come get you. He's awake early from his nap. Tonight will be the first time we've taken him anywhere in so long...
Reverend Spencer.
Well, hello, Dave. And how are you?
Did we wake you up, darling?
No, I was awake. But I heard you talking. Mother, may I ask Reverend Spencer a question?
Of course, dear.
All right, son, what is it?
Well, I remember in Sunday school, they told us that Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." And that meant Jesus loved little children, didn't it?
Yes.
And isn't there a story in the Bible about Jesus bringing a little girl back to life after she was dead?
Yes, yes, that was the daughter of Jairus.
Well then, if Jesus loves little children, and he brought that little girl back to life, then why can't he heal me of my tuberculosis?
Thank you, Dave. I needed that. Son, there isn't any reason why Jesus won't or can't heal you. Because he does love little children. He loves them as much today as ever. And what he did when he was here on earth, he can do today.
Then you think we should take him to Reverend Roberts?
By all means. Ask him to pray for you. And Dave, I'm going to pray for you too.
Some of your favorite cookies, David.
Mm. Got his jacket. Do you think he'll be warm enough?
Well, maybe you better get the light blanket off our bed. We can wrap it around him.
All right, you put that on.
Here, David. How's the hot chocolate, darling?
Swell, Mom.
That's good. It'll help keep you warm, sweetheart.
Ruth, our phone's out of order. Can I use yours for a minute?
Of course.
Well, what's he doing all dressed up?
They're taking me out to the healing campaign at the big tent so Mr. Roberts can pray for me and I can get healed.
Your what?
That's right, Mrs. Hackett. Jim and I went to the meeting last night and it was wonderful.
That so-called healer? Why, you can't be serious. You'll be the laughing stock of the whole neighborhood. And the very idea of taking that boy out into the night.
Mrs. Hackett.
Why, I never heard...
Mrs. Hackett! David happens to be our son. And we believe that God can heal him. And whether or not we take him to the tent is our business.
Gee, Dad, did you tell her off?
Jim, maybe you shouldn't have. She may never speak to us again.
Gee, do you think there's a chance? Come on, let's get out of here. We'll be late for the meeting.
I'll put this around you in the car, dear.
I can handle him all right. This is the invalid tent, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
May we wait here with our son until the prayer line is called?
Yes, of course. There's a place right over there.
Thank you.
Thank you. We should have brought a cot or something.
Do you think you can sit up all right, Davy?
It may be a long wait.
I'll be all right, Mom. Don't worry.
Do you have the prayer card?
Yes, I have it here in my purse.
Happy privilege and pleasure.
Oh, they're starting now.
That God has raised up with a message for your deliverance. God's man for this hour, the Reverend Oral Roberts.
God bless you tonight, neighbor. I'm glad to see you here in the tent. I'd like to stop and thank God for what he's been doing for us here. More than 3,000 souls have come to Christ. Several hundred people have testified to being healed through faith in God. And neighbor, what God has done for them, he can do for you. Tonight, I invite your attention to the book of John chapter 11 for one of the most important sermons of the whole campaign. I'm speaking to you tonight on this subject, you are what your believing is. I'm reading from the book of John, chapter 11, a very powerful, dramatic portion of the Word of God. Now, a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha.
The faith these people must have. I wish I could believe like that. Look at him. He hasn't a doubt in the world that he's going to walk out of here well tonight.
Neighbor, you are what your believing is. Nothing more, nothing less. And you're believing something all the time, either consciously or subconsciously. Your believing, your power of believing, is the strongest power in your life. According to Jesus, there is a believing that is faith in God and a believing that is unbelief. For faith is right believing, and unbelief is wrong believing. Really, unbelief is a reversed form of faith in God. For what you do to believe God, you do the same in your unbelief. The process of faith is the same as unbelief, except faith believes in God, and unbelief believes in the reverse of God. In other words, when you have unbelief in your heart, you're still believing. But you're not believing in God or in his power, in his way, his truth, his life. You're believing that God doesn't exist. There's no healing power for your body, no saving grace for your
soul. I never realized how much suffering there is. And we think Dave is the only one. Oh, the poor darling. I wonder how long she's been like that. Oh, dear God, I hope her prayers are answered.
Her brother can rise from the dead. People, there's no power like the power of faith. Faith in God will set people free. It'll change your life. It'll even raise the dead. Blessed be his precious name. So Jesus said unto her, Martha, I am. He never was. He never shall be, because he is. He was I am when the morning stars sang together and God laid the foundations of this earth. He's I am tonight. He was saying, notice is hereby given that I'm the same today as I was yesterday. Martha had the power to believe, and she was believing all right. She believed if he had come yesterday or if he comes back tomorrow. But she has no faith today. A lot of people have faith in 2,000 years ago. And they say, had I lived back there in his day, I would have been healed. And when I get to heaven, I'll be healed. But Jesus is saying, notice is hereby given, I'm in business today. And what he was yesterday, what he will be tomorrow, he is today. All the eternal past and all the eternal future is rolled into the present. And Christ is real for our day. Jesus offered to do for her then what she believed he would do for her when she got to heaven. And Jesus is offering to do for us now many of those things which we believe.
Gee, there's lots of sick people here. Wonder where they all come from. What's wrong with that boy, I wonder? Guess he's no older than I am. Gee, I bet he's gonna be glad to get well tonight.
While Brother Roberts is praying for the invalids, we shall call the healing line. We are calling letter O.
Does that mean it's time for us, Mom?
Listen now, and they'll tell us where to go.
If your card, your healing card, is letter O, take the nearest aisle to the edge of the tent and form a single line.
We'll leave this in here, Davey.
This is the healing line.
Ready? Heal his eyes. Give him back his full sight. In the name of Jesus.
My brother, you've got faith. God bless you tonight. Mrs. Cardwell of the Methodist Church, your fractured hip. You believe God tonight to heal you, and you want to walk normally.
Father, heal this thy child in the name of Jesus for thy glory. Oh, that's wonderful, sister. God bless you.
Oh, dear God. I know we've strayed from you and we've doubted, but please, God, heal our boy and make him whole again.
Heal you from the crown of your head, the soles of your feet. My sister, in the name of the Lord, I ask him to heal the growth on your spine to make you whole from head to toe. Wonderful. Here's a little child. Master, heal this child's mind and brain. Restore her brain tonight and make it normal. Let her be normal for the rest of her life in the name of Jesus. Amen. Mr. and Mrs. Jim Collins of 461 North Vista. Jim and Ruth Collins and their boy David, 10 years old, who has been bedfast with tuberculosis for 2 years. Well, Jim, I guess things have been pretty rough with you.
Yes, Brother Roberts. Ever since our boy's been sick.
And you think tonight that God can heal him?
Brother Roberts, after seeing all this, what God has done for so many others, I don't think I'll ever doubt him again.
Wonderful. And Mrs. Collins, you've always believed God could heal David, haven't you?
Yes, I have. I've always known God as a good God.
He is a good God. Brother Deweese, help David up here, please. David, what do you think about all this?
I think it's wonderful.
It is wonderful, son. And David, God can heal you. You believe it, don't you? Sure you do. I'm going to put my right hand on your lungs, son. That's my point of contact. When God's presence comes in my hand, his power goes right through people's bodies. And it's that power from God that heals them. And if he heals you tonight, you can breathe normally, and you won't have to be bedfast again. I want everybody in this audience to have compassion. Take this boy into your compassion and sympathies tonight. Take him as your own son. Believe with me for the healing of his body. Jesus can do it. Now, Heavenly Father, I bring little David Collins to thee tonight. I come not in my name, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God. Honor now the prayer of thy humble servant, and grant me this miracle for the glory of God. And now, thou foul tuberculosis, I come against you in the name of the Lord, and I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, come out of it. There it goes, David. It's coming out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Come on out. Son, his power went through my hand. He's done something for you. Put your hand down by your side. Close your mouth. Breathe deeply 3 times. Way down. Again. Once more. How deep did you breathe, David?
All the way. I can breathe. I can breathe all the way down.
Are you sure? All the way down? Oh, praise God. People, raise your right hand. Give God the glory tonight. Wonderful, Jesus. David, who did that for you?
Jesus. Jesus did it.
He did it, honey. Bless you.
Thank you, Brother Roberts.
You're so welcome. You're so welcome. Yes. Give God the glory for it. Praise God forever. God bless you, my brother. This is Percy Salter.
That's fine, son. Keep going. Oh, you're doing great.
How's the breathing, honey? Still feel good?
Swell, Mom. And I don't cough when I take a big breath anymore, see?
That's fine, son, but you don't want to overdo it, you know.
Say, Dad, how long do you think it'll be before we can play ball again?
Well, not too long now.
Just wait till I get that old ball in my hands. I'll just... Come on up, Davey.
What's the matter?
Come on, Davey. What happened? I feel so... I'm all right, ain't I?
Of course you are, silly. It's just that you're weak from being in bed so long. That's right, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah, sure. Sure, that's all, Davey. You're just weak. Wonder who?
Mr. Collins?
Yes.
I'm Brother Deweese, Brother Robert's campaign manager.
Oh, of course. How are you?
I brought someone to see you, Mr. Collins.
Hello, Jim.
Brother Roberts, how are you?
Fine. Hello, Miss Collins.
Brother Roberts.
Hi, Dave.
Gee, Brother Roberts.
How you feeling, son?
I feel wonderful, Brother Roberts. I can breathe just as easy.
May I get you a cup of coffee?
No, thanks, Miss Collins. We can only be here a few minutes. You know, Dave, I don't get to do this very often. Because there's so many people healed in our meetings. But ever since you were healed the other night, the Lord's been pressing you to my mind. In fact, I've not been able to shake you off my mind. Because you reminded me so much of myself when I was healed of TB.
Did you have it too, Brother Roberts?
Yes, I had it. And I was healed just as instantly and completely as you were. But David, and this is what I want to talk to you about. This is why I came here today. It took me several months to get my strength back. I found I was pretty weak. In fact, if it hadn't been for my mother and father, I might never have kept my healing. But Mama told me to be careful, not to overdo. That I was healed of TB all right, but it would take time to get my strength back and for me to be patient. And David, I did just what she said, and I did get my strength back. And soon I was preaching the gospel. And Dave, that's what I want you to remember. It's going to take time for you to get your strength back, for you to get strong again.
I will, Brother Roberts.
Good, Dave. The main thing is, your lungs are well. God has healed you. Keep looking up. Keep believing. Well, bless you, boy.
Brother Roberts.
Yes, Jim?
I have a confession to make. When I first heard about all this, I just couldn't see it. And to be honest, I resented it. But I guess I'd gotten so far from God that I didn't know my way back. You see, my ideas of God weren't very clear. I couldn't quite see that he is real for our day. I was confused.
A lot of people are confused, Jim.
So when Ruth finally got me out of the meeting, I didn't come with an open mind. I came prepared to reject you. But there was one thing you said in your sermon that just wouldn't let me alone. You said God is a good God and that he'll do for us today what he did for those back there. And when you made your altar call for people to come up and be saved, I wanted to come up with all the others. But there was something held me back.
That was the devil, Jim.
Yes. Yes, I guess that's what it was. But the next night, when we were in the prayer line with David, and I looked into your face and saw the compassion and the faith there, I knew then that God was a good God, as you had said. And that he could heal my son. And Brother Roberts, he has healed him.
Well, Jim, many a man's gone through the same thing you have. They get away from God. They figure they don't need him. Then the going gets rough. And when that happens, they all come to the same decision. That there's only one power in this world that can deliver a human being. The power of faith in God.
Brother Roberts, will you pray for me so that I can be saved? Right now.
Sure, Jim. I'll pray for you.
Oh, Jim.
Jim, you mean it?
Yes, I do.
You want to be saved?
Very much.
You want Jesus Christ of Nazareth to come in your heart?
Yes.
Then I want you to repeat after me the sinner's prayer. The prayer that a sinner prayed in the Bible. Look up to God. O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
O Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Okay. I kind of forgot. I thought I was like in the in the movie. In a movie. It's a funny feeling. But let's see, Sister Kathy, what's your response?
Oh, I think it was just wonderful. And that was such a wonderful time. And I do believe those we're going to have revival like that again.
Well, I'll tell you what it did to me. A couple points in it there, my eyes watered up a little.
Yes, mine too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So precious.
Yeah, that's the second time I watched it, and it had the same effect on me. Yeah, wow. I thought it was very good. I thought it was very,
it
very
was.
Good. All right, Sister Rita.
Yes. Yes, Chaplain John. I also thought it was a very good video. And I come from a background, and I have told you this, that I was raised Catholic, and then I got saved. But my husband, when I met him, he was a Christian. But we were Baptist, and the Baptist does not teach healing,
yes,
like it should.
Yes.
And so I think the Lord God has directed me to this prayer group for a reason, and I'm very grateful that I'm here, and I'm seeing that healing is possible, and I believe I have seen or heard about healing through Nancy.
Yo,
I believe,
yeah,
the Lord God healed Nancy.
Oh, yeah. Yes, she did. She definitely, it happened. I mean, I saw the x-rays to show how her hip, and that was, since she's out of the hospital, that was we'll say 3 days ago. And she's just has to get strength back in the leg and a little balance, and she's off and running. Yes.
Right. I mean, yeah. And so I'm just, my heart and my eyes are open to the Lord God healing here on earth. I believe that he can now.
Amen.
And so
Amen.
I thank you for that video. It's really a very moving video. It was very good.
Yes, it was. It was very, very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have a Brother Patty sent me a WhatsApp contact here from a man in Germany that he prayed with. And the man had a very, very bad heart. And he didn't look like he was going to live too long. And Patty prayed for him the day before. And I'm looking for it here. See if I can't show it to you anyways. But Patty forwarded me his a video that he sent to him. And he was out jogging. And he was crying.
Oh, wow.
He was crying. He said, I can breathe again. He says, my heart, I've got like my heart is restored. And he said, I'm running. Look at I'm running. Look at me running. And he's taking the video of himself, or, you know, through the phone. So it was very, very touching. I'd like everybody to see it, but I don't know how. You could hear the sound, I guess, but not see it. But yeah, I just got that from him last night. Patty sent it to me last night, a man from Germany. Was crying. He was literally crying about he could walk and breathe again and run, that his heart was healed. And yeah.
Oh, that's great.
So, all right. Well, God bless you, Sister Rita.
And then thank you, Chaplain John. Thank you. To you.
Yes. And then we have Gigi and Randy.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Clearly.
Okay. That was very, very good. Very good. I liked everything that he was saying. I thought the dramatization was excellent.
Yeah.
But that is very encouraging. We each have been healed of things in the past and prayed for people that did get healed. And I shared my mom got healed too. And so it's something that we know exists. We've seen it. And so that was very encouraging, especially because we still need to be healed. So that was very encouraging for both of us.
Because I watched it, I don't know when, a little while back, and it touched me. His preaching, Sister Kathy.
Very touching.
There's something between, I'm just going to, I speak for myself, but there's something between me and Oral Roberts' preaching.
Yeah, you've been smitten.
I have.
Definitely.
I have. I should make a habit to listen, because there's many more sermons out there by him. I should go out and listen to each one. I mean, it's like speaking directly into me, and I respond.
That's awesome.
To it. Yeah. Yeah. And I know I said this before. I only heard him when he was elderly and he was not on the sawdust trail like he is. You know, we're watching him here. But wow, in his younger years, he's got an anointing on him as great as anyone I've ever heard.
Yes. And I did not realize the colossal effort it took with all those transfer trucks and those hundreds of men.
Yes.
And it was an amazing procedure to put it up. And it was huge.
Oh, those block and tackles? My goodness, they were gigantic. So I'm glad, Gigi, that you were blessed. We all were blessed. And then we have Paula Jean. Paula Jean.
I too was very, very blessed. What a wonderful, wonderful testimony from beginning to end. In other words, to be able to be with the family through the adjustment time. And, you know, it's so real to me about how some people just can't really get it in their head that this can happen until God patiently takes them one step at a time, got him back there the second night. And, you know, it was like, it wasn't a big argument. She did not
lay into him, oh, we've got to get the son in there. No, God led the whole thing, I believe, so that it would go the way the son needed it to go. Amen. And God Amen. Wanted it to go.
Amen. Yeah.
So it was absolutely beautiful. And I thought he, resembled Oral Roberts. I would have said he was Oral Roberts. I didn't know it was an actor.
No, it is Oral Roberts.
Oh, okay. Then I wasn't wrong.
Yeah.
I heard you say something about dramatization.
Well, yeah. Or whatever. Well, dramatization with the kid and that, you know.
Ah,
but not,
okay.
Not Oral okay. Roberts, yeah. The
I misunderstood.
Preaching.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Because we've been doing it back and forth from real to not quite real. Yeah. So, it looked like Oral to me.
I fully believe.
Yeah, I'm so grateful that you're doing this.
Yeah, I fully believe that this here has really affected me in a, of course, a positive way, but it really, really has. It's because, like, with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, I was well aware of what happened in American history and all. And then I had some knowledge of what happened in Great Britain. I knew there were outpourings of the Holy Spirit in Great Britain. But beyond that, I didn't really know too much. And through this, I mean, the Armenian revivals there are burnt deep into me. I mean, it's incredible, incredible. And then what happened in Russia in the 1930s, I mean, absolutely incredible there. And there were other things that we saw beside, but those two, and then, like I said, the young Oral Roberts, wow. Incredible. When we've really seen some mighty moves of the Lord, and more are coming. We're in the season now where we just keep praying, just keep on doing what we're doing. But from me, from my perspective, I don't want to miss anything.
You know what I mean?
We want to be first team on the line for the Lord. That was it. When you played football, you wanted to be first team. You didn't want to sit on the bench. So we want to be used of the Lord right to the rapture, right till Christ comes. We want to be used of the Lord. Amen?
Absolutely. Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm looking at the time, and with that movie and all, that's it. That movie was longer than I thought. So, Father, I thank you for tonight. I thank you for that movie. I think it touched all of us. And we thank you for Oral Roberts, Lord. He's a great man of God, great man, Lord. And the effect on people is still being felt today, Lord. So thank you, Lord. And, Lord, we're looking for the same, well, not exactly the same, Lord, but the same thing now, Lord. Great outpouring, great mighty things being done in your name, Lord. Sweeping the nation, the devil in full retreat as so many come to you. And not only that, the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what's so needed, Lord. Power. So thank you. And may that great outpouring sweep the nation now and beyond, Lord, into the whole world. A great, great, mighty outpouring throughout the whole world. And then to go to be with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before I dismiss you, I've got to share what I spoke today. I gave my testimony and I talked to the people. About the full gospel, and I quote what the according to Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 there 1-4 what the gospel was, and it's his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So I said we preach the death, for sin. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. But we don't preach the resurrection, the power of the resurrection in our lives. And after giving him my testimony, I said, there are a lot of people now that are in bondage, like I was, knowing the Lord, but in bondage for 30 years, till the Lord's power healed my broken heart. I said, we must preach the full gospel over where people are coming to Christ and they can still be in bondage. Now, the Lord can deliver anybody, but we must preach that not only salvation, but that Christ at the same time can heal the broken heart. And they all heard me. And afterwards, many came up to me and said, I see what you're saying. I see what you're saying. And one pastor and a couple others want to contact me for healing broken. They realize they got broken hearts. So what I'm hoping is this, what happened today, it'll expand. And the Lord will raise up many people all over, pastors and everybody else, that will tie together. What's so hard about tying the Lord's death for sin and his resurrection power together and minister to people when they're coming to Christ at the same time, that they're not in bondage? The resurrection power frees them from all of that bondage. So it was received really, really well today. So I wanted to share that with you. I don't think I shared it earlier. It was shared. I mean, they received it really, really well. All right. God bless everybody. And, I'll see you, Lord willing, tomorrow evening with Brother Dave Hauser. And I'll close with a really nice song. So here we go.
We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Oh. We will walk with each other. We will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other. Together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love. Side by side, we will work with each other. We will work side by side, and we'll guard each man's dignity and save each man's pride. They will know we are Christians by our love, by our love. They will know we are Christians by our love.